you bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me? Yeah, it's your good rockin' daddy down from Tennessee. I'm just out off about San Antonio with the radio blastin' and the bird dog gone. There's a beat trap with my head sound the town, but no local yoga gonna shut me down. Me and my boy got the trigger wound, and we'll come a thousand miles from a guitar jam.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hang around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio. Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. Right here on Survival Circle.
Trick in the book. She knows how to give. She knows how to take. For so many times she's been taken a fool.
Time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
And I am Cope Reynolds, and this is The Shooting Bench. And welcome. It's the 22nd of April. And man, there's a lot of stuff happened since last Wednesday. My goodness. That's why I always wanted to do, for a long time, I did the show every night, five nights a week. And it got to be a little much. And so now with missing Fridays, two nights a week, I feel like I'm leaving stuff out all the time. But all right, well, let me go. We should be getting sound, so I'm not going to spend too much time on that. I think everything's good since Amy was here a while ago. Now, let me check real quick here. Yeah, I'll give that a few minutes. I'll get that. I don't even know where to start, man. There's so many. Let's start with the thing in Sri Lanka. That was the big... Wow, 290 people last time I checked, 500 in, 290 dead, 500 wounded. This was a major deal, and apparently they're not done yet. According to Intel, they're looking at doing this again. What do you mean dual sound? What are we talking? What's happening here? Why is there dual sound? There should not be dual sound. There's never been dual sound before. So let me check and see here. That's off. And that's off. And that's turned down. I'll turn it down a little bit more. And everything looks good. So I don't know why we have dual sound. Is it possible, Mountain Shooter, that it's on your end? Okay, let me check and see who all we got here anyway. There's Nan. She was here. Looks like she disappeared. And Yakima Glock and T-Bow and Mountain Shooter and Minnie and Doc and Anonymous there. Looks like we had a couple drop out, or either that or my deal needs to update here. Let's see what's going on. All right. Okay, well, there's a few things with this deal that happened in Sri Lanka we need to talk about. The first thing, and I think it's a very dangerous thing, and we're all being sucked into it. We are abandoning common sense and abandoning good judgment to be the first to jump out there and, number one, blame the Muslims, and number two, say it's an anti-Christian thing. Did it turn out to be that? Of course it did, and we knew it would be. I'm not saying that I never doubted that that's what it was. But what ticked me off was every single Facebook page and every news article and chat room you look at, everybody assumed that that's what it was. Now, why would you assume that before even the names of the churches came out? Why would you assume that in a country that is over three quarters Buddhist? To start with, there's only like 5 to 7% or something like that in the country that is Christian. So why would you assume that this was an anti-Christian attack without having any more information? Of course it was, but, I won't say of course it was. Even now that we know most of them were Christians, what we don't know is whether they were choosing these places where there was lots of people gathering because of Easter. Was that the prime reason, Or would they have done the same thing if the Buddhist would have been gathering for some reason? I don't know if they were looking for a body count and that just happened to be convenient. It would appear to me if they were looking for a big Christian body count, that they would have gone to a Christian nation where there are more churches, more hotels, more places where Christians are gathering. I don't know. But anyway, I never argued the point that Muslims did it. I never argued the point that it was very possibly a Christian, an attack on Christians. What I argued was that everybody said that before we had any information at all. And I think it's becoming dangerous that we assume these things without the benefit of information. So that's my little rant there. So before we get into all these other news articles, which there are plenty, my goodness, we got a lot of stuff going on. Oh, well, one more thing on this Sri Lanka thing. Everyone has noticed, I guess, if you haven't, then I'll be the first to let you know. But another thing that the news media did all over, every one of them, or every one of them, all the mainstream anyway, no one used the word Christian when they talked about the people that were killed and the attacks and everything. They called them Easter worshipers. Now, I don't know. I personally never have worshipped an Easter. I've never seen one. But that's what they're claiming there. So I always thought that we were doing something a little different during this time of year. But apparently worshipping Easter is what we're doing. And all those Easter worshipers, I guess, in the wrong place at the wrong time. Well, anyway, what I wanted to get into before I get into these 900 other news stories here, a little quick information bit of trivia for you for your radios, for your communication radios. If you have elected to get one of these things after we've talked about them, 50 times, and you get one of the little Baofengs, and I don't know about the other ones, the more expensive ones, I probably never will know. I have no desire to even check. But if you didn't already know, these little radios pick up FM radio stations. You can tune it from, 000 to whatever to the end of the scale and find every FM radio station in your area. It picks up pretty good. You can extend the antenna or put a longer antenna on it or whatever, and they have decent sound. So when I'm off working somewhere sometimes, and if I'm in a place where it's quiet and I'm looking for, want to listen to a little music or news or something, I drag out my little radio and turn it on because they don't take up any room. They play for well over 24 hours on a single charge, and it's just a handy little deal to be able to listen to music or news while you're out working and stuff. So the point of this is, some of you probably already knew that, but whatever frequencies you have programmed on your, whatever ones are showing in the display when you turn it on radio, on FM radio, those frequencies will break into the broadcast if someone talks on it. So two things. If you don't want your music interrupted, be sure and put that on some frequency where nobody's going to interrupt it. And number two, if you have frequencies that you frequently listen to or use, then tune it to those. And if someone goes to holler at you or you're trying to, listen to somebody else, it will break into your broadcast. It'll talk for, whatever, for as long as somebody's talking, it'll stay disconnected from the FM radio. When they stop talking and the frequency clears, in about, 4 or 5 seconds, it'll go back to FM radio. So the reason that this is good, I can put that radio out, and any of my friends, I have numerous friends around here that use the same radios, and we're all kind of in a little club here with the radios, and so I can put that out there and tune it to the two frequencies that I use most, and then listen to the radio, listen to the music. And if somebody needs to get a hold of me at any time of the day while I'm working, they can. I'm often in places where the cell phone doesn't work, it doesn't pick up well. So that's a good thing that they can, I tune it to one simplex frequency and one repeater frequency. And if anybody in this area needs to get a hold of me that knows me and knows what the frequencies are, I'm at your beck and call. I'm right at your fingertips without having to, you know, have an additional electronic device in the area with me. So just a little tip for you. It may be as useless as tits on a rain barrel, but there it is. Oh, I'll tell you later. I'm busy right now. All right, let's move on here. I don't even know where to start. There's no rhyme or reason for there's so many things. So let's just start at the beginning. Start at this one. Albuquerque, New Mexico. New Mexico has completely gone to hell. New Mexico is going the way of Washington. And although I was very disappointed that I'd ever left there and decided, you know, kind of thinking about a way to get back and open the store back up, pretend like all this never happened. But, you know, the longer we stay away, the worse it's turning. So, you know, I have no desire whatsoever to go back to New Mexico now. The mayor of Albuquerque must have taken some lessons from Governor Inslee in Washington. And people in Oregon and California and everywhere else. He has signed a bill banning single-use plastic bags. I mean, if it ain't straws or, you know, plastic cups or whatever. Bill goes into effect January 1st of 2020. And the original proposal... Well, there's been some changes made to it, but, you know, the changes now allow a few common sense exceptions. Of course, the whole thing doesn't make any common sense, but he said, even as I was driving here and thinking about the bags blowing in the wind that I literally saw on the way over here, I was thinking about just actually how important this piece of legislation is. Well, don't get your shoulder out of socket patting yourself on the back. Here's some of the amendments there. It says plastic bags will be banned at retail stores. See, this is the thing that bothers me. You know, there could be some incentive for not using them. Like, you know, we have these nice bags with handles that are reusable down here. They're free. Come get them. Whatever. I could go, but they're banning. They're telling me if I own a retail store, I am banned. That it is illegal for me to give you a single use plastic bag to carry your stuff out in. I think it's just the one that Amy said, how do you know you're just going to use them only once? Well, because that's the Walmart bags get used once for carrying stuff out of Walmart and then second time to put cat poop in out of the cat box. And so it's a dual-use plastic bag. So those must not be banned. I don't know. Restaurants can still use plastic bags for to-go orders. Styrofoam and plastic straws are allowed, but straws are available on request. If you were going to do something that, well, I don't know, the plastic bags, there, you know, there's a lot of them out there. It's a problem. I understand that. It is. But the styrofoam cups are, as far as I'm concerned, no less of a problem. So if I don't think that the while it is a problem, I don't think the answer to it is banning anything. If you're going to ban something, then we need to come up with a solution before the ban. Okay, now we've come up with a different thing, and as of, you know, right now we're going to start phasing these other things out because we have another option. But no, we're just going to ban everything. So if you don't bring a reusable bag or backpack or something to the store, and you can't buy one of their bags, I guess you just got to take your shirt off and bundle everything up and carry it out. I don't know what they're going to do. Businesses are free to charge fees for single-use plastic items. Violation of the ordinance would result in a warning, followed by $100 and $250 fines for additional offenses. Retailers shall be encouraged to waive any bag fees for persons paying with public assistance. Now, paying with public assistance, what I'm reading there, I think, is people on food stamps. So you're encouraged to waive any fees for persons on food stamps. That's what I get out of that. So there you have it. Speaking of Washington, we have a good thing coming out of Washington for a change. Let me see. My chat room's run away from me here, so let me see what's going on. Doc, that was a religion of peace. There was pieces everywhere. It was a bad deal. Okay, Mountain Shooter, now I see what the dual sound. Well, here you had me looking for a problem that didn't exist there. And Nan finally made it back in there. What happened to her? Alright, let's move on here. And welcome, Nan, I'm glad you made it. Let's see, that was the plastic bag. Here's a good thing out of Washington. And this should be, I can't understand why this even went before the court to start with. But, just to clarify this, the court in Washington, the Washington Supreme Court has confirmed that refusing to let cops enter your home without a warrant is not obstruction. Apparently they've had a little problem up there with some of their renegade cops are charging people with obstruction because they wouldn't allow them in their home without a warrant. But as of 3 days ago, it says they've amended the lead opinion by striking out its conclusion and replacing it with the following. We in the lead opinion would hold the city presented insufficient evidence to sustain Solomon McLaremore's conviction and remand to the trial court for further proceedings consistent with this opinion. However, we recognize this opinion has garnered only four signatures. Therefore, there being no majority for the reversal of the judgment of the trial court, it necessarily stands affirmed, and the order of this court is that the judgment appealed from B and it, boy, this legal stuff is killing me. But what there was I need to find a quote down here that I read earlier. This man had refused to open his door to let the police in without a warrant. And here it is right here. They said he should not have been convicted for obstruction of justice. The lead opinion of the Washington Supreme Court concluded on Thursday. Here's a quote. Criminalizing the refusal to open one's door to a warrantless entry would be enormously chilling and inconsistent with our deep-held constitutional values. Okay, I have got to applaud them for that. It's a great decision. I'm glad. It's a wonderful thing. But why, if these constitutional values are held so strongly and deeply, why do they have so many other things going on in Washington that are so vehemently or so much opposed to in opposition to the Constitution? The conviction upheld. Washington appears to be the only jurisdiction in which citizens may be prosecuted merely for failing to yield when law enforcement demands warrantless entry to their homes. Washington appears to be the only, not surprising, although I guess I am a little surprised that Oregon and California is not right in there with them. But anyway. All right, let's move on here. Let me click a couple of buttons here before I get too far down the road. Let's see here. Stay with me. Everything is good. Don't leave just yet. And okay, there we go. All right, let me get back over here. Where was I at? I was right there. Okay. This one, I've got two follow-up stories tonight from stories that we have talked about on here before. Remember, it wasn't too awful long ago that a California woman had bad-mouthed and berated a 74-year-old man for wearing a mega cap, Make America Great Again cap. Well, apparently she has disappeared. No, I don't think any of Trump supporters carried her off. I think that there has been such an uproar. They said a national uproar. She worked at a coffee shop in San Francisco. And she didn't make it home after a trip to, Lake County. She's believed to be somewhere in the Aberdeen, Washington area based on her cell phone activity, but they haven't found her yet. And yeah, she was also fired after this. So, and that's a good thing. And as far as I'm concerned, they could have thrown her in jail. This is for, sure we could have figured out something, some kind of harassment or something. Anyway, she's not kidnapped or murdered or anything. She's just hiding because she's scared because she's stupid. But let's see. He will never forget me. We'll think seriously about. Oh, here it was. Here's the. She got the national attention earlier this month after she yelled and berated a man wearing a cap in Starbucks. He will never forget me and will think seriously about wearing that cap in my town ever again, she wrote on Facebook. If you see him in this hat, please confront him. You do not want to be the person who didn't speak up as we slipped into fascism. Those people don't even know what fascism is. They don't even know what the hell they're talking about. But this guy, they said his name was Victor, has told everybody she called him a racist and other names. Said the woman came over and not only started screaming at me, she turned to the Starbucks audience and said, "Hey, everybody, come here. This guy's a racist. This guy hates brown people." And of course, she's Mexican. She's, as a matter of fact, I think she was illegal. I'm not sure. Wasn't she, no, maybe she's not. Maybe that's not right. I thought she said that because she was brown people. Maybe she's not. Somebody told me she's the illegal alien, but with that name and everything, doesn't look like it, but. Stand by 1 second, please. Okay, 3 seconds. Sorry. Anyway, can't stand the heat. Get out of the kitchen. Salt Lake City, Utah. Great. Well, I remember the story. I hate these things. They get up here and they let you look at them for a little bit, and then they tell you, you've reached your limit on these stories. If you want to continue to read this, you got to pay 99 cents for the first. Well, I ain't going to do it, so never mind. But this is the other follow-up story. Remember when this was probably, 4 months ago maybe, where the cop brought somebody in and demanded that they draw his blood and told the nurse that she had to draw his blood and she refused to do it. Well, They locked her up, arrested her, and I don't remember if she made it to jail or not. I don't remember the whole story. But anyway, that's not the point right now. The point is the cop has been, I think the cop's been fired. I can't tell. Hang on a minute. I might be able to have a workaround here. Let me see here just a minute. Oh, he was demoted. He wasn't fired. So, anyway, the chief's decision to demote the watch commander who was on duty when the... Yeah, okay. All right, well, at least he got something out of it. All right, well, let me see if I can clear some of this stuff off here while we go to a little break.
I'll be back.
Imagine.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. And we're back. I don't know if this quote is real. I haven't looked it up. I just now seen it. It may or may not be. You see so many memes on Facebook that somebody put some appealing sounding quote of some kind on there, and you look it up and it's not true. But this is true. I just didn't know if she said it. This is Candace Owens, allegedly. She says, "For the life of me, I'll never understand how the Democrats can question our president's sanity while continuing to put Maxine Waters in front of a camera." That is so true. Whether or not she said it, I don't know, but it's damn sure a fact. All right, let's move on here. Get back over here where I'm supposed to be. Portland. I've got two stories here. Matter of fact, let me bring this other one up here. Well, I'll have to find it here in just a second. But Portland, there's a reserve officers there have defected. Yeah, 18 of them, including their commanders, defected to the county sheriff's office last summer when they couldn't convince the Bureau to provide them federally mandated training given to other Bureau officers. So this story was updated just 5 days ago. The volunteer officers who complete a reserve academy, carry guns, wear the standard police uniform, and can make arrests, now back up Multnomah County deputies. And I think that's awesome. This came after the Portland police in late November of 2017 ordered the reserves off the street because their training didn't meet the higher standard required by the city's 2014 settlement with the Department of Justice. So instead of offering them the training that they should have, they just pulled them off. So they said it's unclear why it took the Bureau until then to recognize that its officers were out of compliance. So they just all apparently just walked off. Now, what this is similar to, or what reminds me of, although it's unrelated in mostly, but is the vast number of sheriffs that are refusing to enforce these red tag laws. We talked about it a couple of times before. But they're calling them rogue sheriffs. That's a new politically correct name for constitutional. Politically correct name for an oath keeper. I'm not a huge supporter of the oath keeper organization, but I am a huge supporter of oath keepers. Officers military people, service members that abide by their oath. So, you know, what was it, 2 years ago maybe longer than that, time's going so cotton picking fast, can't keep up with it. But remember, there's a there was a little town where the whole police department quit, and I don't remember what the reason for that was, but anyway, over this last little while, we're seeing law enforcement officers do things that it's kind of unprecedented, you know, doing things that we haven't seen before. And the number of sheriffs that are standing up to these red flag laws is amazing to me. I love it. Let's see. We got to hurry here. I got too many things to cover, not enough time to do it in. Some of you may have seen. You remember Joe Robertson, right? The guy that the old man from Montana, 78 year old disabled Navy veteran, who got thrown in jail for digging a pond. Remember that, or a couple of ponds? I don't remember what it was. got 18 months in prison and died while he was in there. He was also fined $130,000. Of course, he didn't have the ability to pay it, and that fine has been inherited by the estate. So if they wanted to sell that property or whatever, then it's an additional $130,000 that somebody'd have to come up with. But the Supreme Court also remanded Robertson's conviction to the lower court so the indictment can be dismissed and the lien can be canceled. What they have done is Supreme Court has moved to overturn his conviction. I know he's dead, and it really almost seems irrelevant at this point, but it lesson learned. It's unfortunate that he's not going to see this, but his name will be cleared. His wife will be there. They're getting rid of they're canceling the lien and all that. It's a damn shame that they practically murdered him by putting him in there in that jail cell. He didn't receive the care that he should have gotten, that he could have gotten if he'd been out. So as far as I'm concerned, they killed him. And maybe someone is realizing that somewhere down the line, and they're trying to make amends for it here to some degree. I don't know. Excuse me. But anyway, it's too little too late, but it's a good deal. I'm glad that it's happening. I'm glad for his wife and his family. So, and this story, I had no idea that there was still one alive. The last living member of the 1st Navy SEAL team celebrates his 94th birthday. I remember when I was a kid, there was always talk of frogmen. You know, we had frogmen. And, of course, at the time, most of us just assumed that they were simply Navy divers that did, you know, a little more extracurricular activity than some of the other ones did. Well, that was the first SEAL team, was the frogmen. And this guy's name is Bill Dawson. In 1943, he was part of the very first Naval Combat Demolition Unit. That was the frogmen. And they eventually evolved into what is now called the Navy SEALs. He was 17 when he joined the Pacific Theater of Operations during World War II, remained there until the Japanese surrendered in 1945. He wrote a book, Before They Were SEALs, They Were Frogs. And I think I need to find that book and read it. I think that's probably a pretty good book. He's also, when he got out, he was with the D.C. Fire Department for more than 20 years, got a retirement from there. So that's a very good, very good deal. Happy birthday to Bill Dawson. This would have been, 3 days ago? 4 days ago? Okay. Now, for all the little bit of good that came out of Washington, well, there's a little bit of bad, too. Apparently, murders are up since this gun control law passed here as of a week ago. Reporting on a troubling trend in random killings involving homeless people in Seattle and King County, Washington, Seattle Times story was the unintentional consequence of revealing how many homicides in the county that overwhelmingly supported a pair of restrictive gun control initiatives have actually gone up since the measures were passed. Maybe a little early to know if that's related or not, but whether anyone will ask backers of Initiative 594, you know, we're familiar with that one, in 2014 and 1639 in 2018, about this when they gather for a rally this Saturday at Sunday, which would have been this last Saturday at City Hall. Thanks to the newspaper, which backed both gun control measures, the homicide data is there for all to see. According to the Times, last year saw 78 killings in King County, including Seattle's 31, while 2017 ended with 74 homicides, 2016 was 66. Equally damning is the notation that preliminary FBI data for the first half of 2018 showed a 6% decrease in homicides in metropolitan areas for the same period in 2017, compared to the Seattle Times count that overall that shows an overall 5% increase from 2017 to 2018. 27 slayings in Seattle in 2017. Anyway, the numbers are kind of little. I'm anxious to see what this will be in another year. Said on top of that, according to the Uniform Crime Report, 2016-2017, there were 195 and 228 killings, respectively. Noted, and this, I'm saying killings. I've just noticed that in this entire article, it doesn't say killings, it says slayings. I'm not sure why. That's not a term that they use a lot. You see it occasionally, but this, every time they're talking about killings, that's what it says. Anyway, in 2016, 127 of those murders involved firearms, and in 2017, the most recent year for which the complete data is available, 134 of those slayings involved guns. So there's quite a bit more to the story there, but the crux of the story there is that the murders apparently have gone up with these gun control laws. And everybody heard about the guy. I don't get stories like this. I'm going to say something that's going to irritate some of you. There's a guy here, excuse me, again. Allegedly, I hate that they use this word allegedly when at least two people saw him. Undresses in a 12-year-old's bedroom and managed to get shot 6 times for his efforts. Said the 12-year-old got under a blanket and texted her mother to let her know that the suspect was allegedly in her room. Mom, the suspect's allegedly in my room. How stupid is this? Her mother said she hid under the covers and turned her light down, turned the volume down on the phone to text me. Then she peeked under the cover to see where he was. He got up and ran away. He went to the back room, and I think it was really brave and smart of her. Suspect allegedly walked to the kitchen in his underwear, where he was confronted by the lady's boyfriend. There was a physical altercation. Retrieved a gun, shot him repeatedly. So what I was going to say that's going to irritate you is there's... I'm not the least bit opposed to shooting this man, to come in there and doing what he did. But I have to ask, if there were a non-violent solution to this, if you were able to subdue him or talk him down, talk him into giving up and restrain him and call the cops, would you have done it? The only reason I ask that is because I think there's something desperately wrong with this man. Who in the hell in their right mind would go in and I can see how, I mean, there's pedophiles and there's other sex offenders out there that may sneak into a young girl's bedroom and try to do that, but why would he walk out of the bedroom in his underwear and confront somebody? I mean, there's got to be something wrong with this dude. The shooting, I'm sure, was certainly justified. I was going to say well-deserved. I'm not 100% sure it was well-deserved. If he is that crazy, is there... If there was another, it doesn't seem to be, there was a little fisticuffs going on there. And that would be one more reason to make it justified. I guess it's just unfortunate that in a situation like that, the result needs to die. Now, apparently the guy didn't die, so he's going to have time to think about his craziness there.
Would I have shot you? Oh, hell yeah, I'd have shot you. I'm just asking if anybody else would. Well, a rabid dog is dangerous. This guy, well, that's what I said. I mean, he was, when the little fight started, the scuffle, I said, would you have subdued him if you could have? And Doc's absolutely right. Restraining people is one of the cops' most dangerous jobs. And, they are paid to do it. It's their job, but, actually, it's their job sometimes. We could get into the whole Castle Rock Grove versus Gonzalez finding. But anyway, I thought about that. Yeah, I would have probably shot him before I ever found out he was crazy. If he come out of my daughter's bedroom in his underwear, I'd have blown his ass up right away quick.
Yeah,
nobody knew it. He just happened in the bedroom and got undressed and then. In the daughter's bedroom. So, you know, there's a moral here about keeping windows locked and stuff, I guess. I don't know how he got in there. Anyway. Yeah, that's true. Well, it was just confirmed with what I was talking about him being nuts. Let's see, I think we'll pass that one up. Apparently we're going to have to pass this one up too. This is one of those, wait a minute, maybe not. No, wait, I have a workaround here. Let me work around. Now, here we go. Here's another one. This was one I missed, and this is kind of along the same lines as one we just talked about, except this one, yeah, would I have killed you? Oh, yeah, oh, yes, ma'am, rest assured. This is a St. Louis school teacher, and apparently he's queer on top of that. He is charged with hiring a hitman. See, there was a kid was 7 years old. He was a, this teacher was, what do you call it, a teacher's aide or whatever, not a teacher's aide, what do you call him? Do what? Assistant, maybe? Anyway, whatever he was. He pulled this seven-year-old kid out of class and molested him. The teacher has a boyfriend. The teacher's 36 years old. The boyfriend's 66. What in the world? See, there's something wrong with this person too. Anyway, he's got HIV, he's HIV positive. And 3 years after the fact, when the kid's 10 years old, the teacher tries to hire a hitman to kill the kid and the kid's family. Now, how that all come to the forefront and they found out about it, it doesn't say. But he'd been arrested more than once for similar activity, but the school apparently somehow didn't find out about it. They said he went through the same vetting process as everybody else, and it didn't come up. But so he was behind bars, accused of molesting a student, still getting a paycheck from the school district. The principal said, everybody received a due process. We had an opportunity to have due process when those initial charges were filed. When the subsequent charges were filed, it became clear that he was not going to be returning, and at that time he was terminated. So he faces felony sodomy charges, while he and his accomplice face conspiracy to, I guess his boyfriend jumped in there and, He wasn't going to be the hitman, I don't think. But I think the two of them tried to went in on this together. So he was felony sodomy charges and conspiracy to commit murder and witness tampering. So there you have it. What a crazy world we live in right now. Some crazy people go along with it. And yeah, some of them just need to be killed, and that's one of them right there. Oh, well. C'est la vie. Let's see if you Tim Yep. That's right, T-Boy. I just subdued him right there with a lead injection. That's right. Put enough lead in him, he won't be able to move. I don't know what happened, officer. He just couldn't get up and carry all that lead out of here. Okay. Well, I've had all the fun I can stand. Time for me to ease on towards the door here. And I reckon I'll be back again Wednesday. I don't see anything keeping me from it. And I'll see you then. Thanks for joining me.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.